Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward.
Welcome back to Excelsior Journeys, the road to creativity, part of the Podmatch podcast network. This is George Soroy, and thank you so much for being here. And one of the things that I have definitely seen all through the years, once self-publishing and indie publishing really came into its own, is there's so many different authors that decided to not only just focus on the genre that they love, that they wanted to get their own work out, but they also wanted to stretch their legs and broaden their horizons and see what else they can do. And that is definitely the case with my guest this week, Lainey Morris. Lainey is the one behind the now award-winning Father of Contention genre series that has currently gone through four different books, as well as a spinoff title, Code of Reanimation. And she has also contributed several short stories to horror anthologies, and also has contributed poems to various poetry anthologies, one of which is Horoscope, which is a Zodiac anthology, which sounds absolutely fascinating. So we're going to be getting into all of this, and we're also going to be getting into how Lainey has been able to utilize social media to its best possible advantage for her, because I have seen her visibility increase over more and more throughout the years. And we're going to get a little bit further into, we're going to discuss that as well with Lainey. I am just very excited to have her here. She has been a friend for several years, and I'm really excited to finally have her featured as a guest on Excelsior Journeys, The Road to Creativity. So it is my pleasure to introduce Lainey Morris. Lainey, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me here, George.
And thank you for being here. It's been a while. I'm glad that we've been able to keep in touch, and I am just really happy to have you here. And it sounds like you have a lot going on when it comes to your writing, and also how you've been able to not keep yourself confined to just one genre.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here, by the way. I just always knew I wanted to write. My main genres that I've always read are science fiction, fantasy. I love paranormal. And so just going on to that route, I started the Father of Contention series. And then as I was getting into that, I started learning that it's really important to try and develop a name and a profile for yourself. I heard that short stories, poetry, trying to enter those into contests and doing anthologies can help get your name out there. So I started working on that a little bit. And I've always written poetry, actually. I started really young. And it was something that I've always done on a private way. But I really enjoy it. And I've been writing quite a bit since then. So I do have my own anthology that I'd like to put out soon, hopefully this year. It'll have short stories and poetry in it. And it's a kind of dipping into a bunch of different genres. It keeps me interested and keeps the imagination flowing.
And it also seems like, from what I said in the introduction, it's something that the typical publishing model wouldn't have allowed you to do. They basically just would have said, okay, your focus is on science fiction, fantasy, so that's where you need to stay. You wouldn't have had the opportunities to put in some poetry submissions elsewhere, or look out at other different genres. Would you agree to that?
I would agree for sure. And even just within each story or each novel or in a series, they usually stuck within one genre. And now there's a lot of blending going on. Even in my own stories, I can't say it's just one. Like, there is a lot of fantasy, but there is a lot of science fiction. There's also paranormal. There's so many things going on, and it just expands the way the story can go, the direction it can go in. I think it's getting a little more flexible. And now that we can self-publish, the rules are a little bit more elastic, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it does seem that with the rise of small presses, they seem to be a little bit more lenient when it comes to keeping someone pigeonholed in one specific genre.
That's true. Yeah, you definitely see that.
And in addition to the main books that you have out now, the Father of Contention series, there's another one that's in the works. Is that correct?
Yes. The Father of Contention series is a four-part series, and that one is mm-hmm. complete. Code of Reanimation was the spinoff, but it's also like a stepping stone moving on to a new series that's going to have a few of the people or characters from the Father of Contention series. So it's going to have a whole bunch of new ones. It's going to be more of a paranormal detective type of series. And it stars like one of my craziest characters probably I've ever written, that she comes in on my fourth book of the Father of Contention series. So she's going to be the main person, and it is a little bit in the future. So it's going to be more enhanced technology, lots of paranormal stuff going on. And this one, I don't have a limit to how many books it's going to be, but I already mm-hmm. have like at least six, I think, will come out. So we'll see. Maybe that'll be the end of it, or maybe it'll keep going out. I don't know yet.
Very cool. So it sounds like you're already working to not only expand the world of Father of Contention, bridge over to this other series, but it sounds like you're also dipping into another genre. That's really interesting.
Going into a little bit of a different direction, but I think it'll still have the same feel. I have a writing style, I guess you could say, so that's going to continue on. And like I said, there are some of the same characters too. It'll definitely have some of the same. There will be that scientific basis, but I want to go into some different paranormal things like vampirism and aliens and broaden my scope.
Very cool. Very cool. And do you think that as time goes on, you may want to revisit Father of Contention a little bit more, or at least maybe bring even more characters from that series back over into this one?
Yes, actually. So like I said, I've pre-planned each book already, like for at least six books. So there are within each book some little tastes from Father of Contention, a few characters here and there, and some flashback and some unfinished stuff that happened in the series that's going to be explained better in this new series that's coming up.
Nice. That's something I've always been a sucker for when it comes to seeing things like either on television or a film or even with books, is getting that sort of, I guess you can call it like a Days of Future Past kind of event where you have everyone really coming together. Because that's got to be fun, considering how different characters are going to mesh together. You know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah, I'm excited because when you're finishing a series too, you get that little bit of sadness that you're letting go of that world. You're mourning them, but now I can bring them back later on, at least in a way.
Excellent. That's really just what this is all about. You got to have fun doing these sort of things. You have to enjoy yourself when you're creating these worlds, when you're coming up with these stories. Otherwise, what's the point?
I agree. No, I love it. It's been a dream of mine for a very long time, and I didn't study this in school. This wasn't my life plan, but now I am doing it full time, actually. And this is like my dream job.
Fantastic.
I love every day of it. Yeah.
So speaking of which, let's go back in time a little bit to what I like to call the road to creativity. And that's that moment where you are on one certain path, but then you just seem to experience something or read something, meet someone, and it just makes you want to say, oh, I should get on this highway. And then all of a sudden you're taking an exit ramp. You're on to a whole other direction. You've merged with traffic and now you're moving forward. So what was it that made you decide that you wanted to focus on writing?
It started early on, I guess, when I was younger. Like I said, I was writing poetry and some short stories, and I've just been obsessed with reading my whole life. I think it was maybe in my early 20s, I was thinking, I'm definitely going to write a book someday. I didn't know what it was going to be about. I didn't even know if it was going to be fiction or nonfiction. I was just like, I'm writing a book.
There you go.
Then after, of course, then I went into university and my life went all down that road, and I became a psychotherapist and was busy with life. And then all of a sudden I had my son. And then I was off for a year, and then I stopped and thought, number one, is this what I want to do for the rest of my life? And then I just thought, oh yeah, I thought I was going to write a book.
There you go.
So I started to get these ideas, like usually they're from my dreams. I have really vivid dreams. And I'd wake up and I'd jot the idea down and think, oh my goodness, that would make a great story. And then I kept doing that over and over. And after a while, I started to see that these stories fit together, and I just had this eureka moment when I, ironically, I was watching a Scooby-Doo episode with my son. So at this point now, he's, I don't know, he's five or maybe older. And we were watching it, and it just all clicked together that all my stories actually fit into one huge story. Like, it was the Father of Contention series, just clicked right there. And so I was like, oh my goodness, I need to write this like now. So then I really started to sit down. That was probably my pivoting moment where I was like, I need to sit down and get this all down on paper. And of course, I had never done it before, so I had no clue what I was doing. Yeah. So I started doing some research and how to write a book. And because I was reading my whole life, I had a general idea of where I wanted it to go. As it started to, first, the first book came out and just got more exciting and got addicted to it. And then after a while, I was like, you know what? Why am I wasting time doing anything else? I need to do this full time.
Wow. Wow. That's terrific that you were able to do that. There are so many different people that want to do that, that want to say, I want to focus on writing on a full-time basis, but for some reason, they just don't have the wherewithal to do that. So that's terrific that you were able to do that, and you did not take that for granted. You continued forward with it.
Yeah, I mean, it was hard. It was scary at first because I did retire a bit young. But I don't regret it in the sense that I'm doing what I love. Like I said, every single day, I'm sitting down with my coffee and my laptop, and I'm in heaven. Like, it is the best job. Yeah. But financially, it's a little bit hard because I am an indie author mostly. Right. Is it really paying the bills? Not quite yet.
I remember there was something that Stephen King once said. He said that if you write something and it sells and someone sends you a check and you cash that check and you use it to pay the light bill, I consider you talented.
So like, I love that.
Yeah, that's just a great way to look at it, because at the end of the day, we all want our writing to support us. And in terms of everything that I'm doing, not just the writing, but also with the audiobook narrating, that has come in very handy when it comes to paying some bills and providing, even though I'm still working full time, thankfully I'm enjoying what I do, but it is a supplemental income that the narrating is providing. And that's come in very handy. Times when I need it the most, that's when it suddenly pops up. So one of the things that I have been very impressed with is your reach on social media.
Oh, thank you.
Especially with Instagram. It seems like you feel very much at home on Instagram.
Yeah. You know what? Instagram is my hub. I am on other areas. Like I'm on X and I'm on Facebook, but I keep forgetting that I'm on there. So I'm not really posting there regularly. I do post regularly on Instagram. It took me a while to get used to it. I'm one of those people who hasn't been on social media at all until I started writing. Right. And I'm a bit older, so it's a little bit harder to figure out the technology of everything. It has been a learning curve, but everybody like in this writing and bookish groups that you find online on Instagram, especially, they're so welcoming and so friendly and supportive that it's made it really easy. Yeah, you find certain people too, like you, that you click with and that you stick with kind of for the long term. It's just been really awesome to have a community who understands what you're doing and what you're going through, and to see them come out with these brilliant works too and be able to support them back. Like, it's a great community.
It really is. And I noticed that earlier this I was about to say earlier this year, but it was actually last year. It's funny that you should say that, because when I was at the Austin Revolution Film Festival last year, one of the things that everyone was asking about, because everyone had business cards and they were fine with exchanging those, but the main thing that everyone was saying is, what's your IG handle? And it's everyone is on Instagram. And I felt comfortable with that. I was just like, oh, this is nice. I like this, because Facebook, I feel like that is family and friends sort of thing. But Instagram seems like that is a spot that's open for potential collaborators and networking. And it feels like that is perfectly good home for everything that I'm doing there. Yeah. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed like a lot of people wanting to collaborate with you in some way?
Oh, yeah. People reach out all the time. That's partly how I got into these anthologies that I have, the short stories and the poem. And sometimes people will reach out to want to do giveaways and like group giveaways. We'll all give up one of our books or things like that. And it's great because then you're tapping into their followers too, and everybody getting their books out there or their writing out there somehow. So it's a neat way to broaden your business and your horizons.
And that's something that I've definitely noticed has been a real treat. being able to connect with so many different people from this. And that's great that they've been able to get you connected with the anthology editors as well. And have you decided to, have you been approached to take your works and set them up in a different format?
I haven't been approached, I don't think, as in like audiobooks.
Or adaptations of any sort.
No? I don't think so. I'm trying to think. I haven't. I do want to do some audiobooks. And so I've been talking with a few people about that. But yeah, that would be really good. Some people have said, do you want to do a story together? That kind of thing. But nothing too big and nothing with what I already have out there.
Excellent. And then your own experiences and everything. If someone were to approach you and basically ask, how did you get this sort of reach? And how did you get to connect with so many different people? What is it that you would recommend to them that they do?
So again, like I said, it was a big learning curve for me. So when I came in, I was sitting at like a handful of followers. I think they were all my family and friends for the longest time. And then I actually spoke with a marketing expert, I guess you would say, for my books. Yeah. And they were suggesting different things. They just said to try and make it just, I guess your personality should be able to shine. You should be on it. You should have like at least pictures of yourself or videos of yourself. It shouldn't just be about your books. So that was a big thing. Like they thought it's better to connect with people when you can see them. And so that, then they could get to them.
It's one thing to be talking about, this is my book and this is all about my books, but to get a little bit of a glimpse inside the personal lives, not too much, because we all have our own boundaries about what we choose to put on there or what we don't. I know that when it comes to my own posting on Instagram, I'm perfectly fine with talking about my likes, my dislikes, my favorite movies, favorite TV shows, like different things I'm watching, different things that I am experiencing, different things that I participated in, different speaking events or whatever. I keep my family off of Instagram. I keep that on Facebook. And I just feel more comfortable with that. And I know my family does too, considering I'm happy with the community that I've gotten. And I'm perfectly fine with it being friends and family members that are following. But at the same time, I just don't want to put the spotlight on the family stuff, because that's the family stuff. If you're a friend and family member or anything, you can find everything you need on Facebook. When it comes to everything else, I'm perfectly good with Instagram being that sort of hub for that.
Right. Yeah. I'm the same way. Yeah. It's like more of my business profile.
Right.
Whereas
exactly.
I'm not on, like I said, I'm not really on Facebook too much, but yeah, if I have like pictures and stuff like that I want to share, I just do it on a private way. I do have some references to family, but yeah, mostly I don't keep that on my Instagram.
Like I'm pretty sure later on today I'll be putting together a reel on IG about my recording studios, just to try that and see what happens.
Awesome.
Because this is a challenge that I think will definitely be good for me to commit to posting at least one post per day and just seeing what happens. And I've already seen, even though it's only been a few days into the new year, I've already seen a steady climb in likes. So more people are seeing it, having posted for 3 days straight. So who knows where it's going to go from there.
And because you had asked before too, like how I garnered more followers, and that is what I was focusing on. I was posting daily for a very long time, only just because of time management. I haven't been able to do it. So then I went down to about 2 to 3 posts per week. But I did notice definitely posting daily can be huge for reaching other people, getting people more interested in your channel, and they look forward to seeing you and expect to see those posts. So it's good to keep people coming back.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I've also seen that you not only have a good amount of appearances and interviews and different spots such as that on your website, but you've also done some speaking engagements, haven't you?
I did do some like book launches. So when my first book came out, I did do like just a big huge blowout book launch. And so then I spoke there. I have a huge fear of public speaking, so it was very hard. I actually made a video that kind of did a lot of the speaking for me that I showed.
Oh, that's fun. That's a good way to do it.
I was trying to be creative. So that kind of eased me into it. And then afterwards, then I just took over. And it was basically just my family and friends there. But they all showed up. So it was like over 50 people. So for me, that's a big,
that's great.
Big group.
Those are numbers there are so many people that would absolutely kill for. So that's hopefully not literally. Like that's those some really good numbers to have up there. And since you were talking about your initial launch, that's one thing that I love to hear about, because you've done this five times with the spinoff, and there's also been the anthologies that have come out.
Yeah.
Getting that finished copy to hold in your hands, it never gets old, does it?
Oh, it's the best feeling. It's hard not to get teary-eyed. Like it's mm-hmm. like holding your baby for the first time.
It absolutely is. And that's something that I never take for granted. Just having done this several times, and in some cases being able to do this more than once with more than one edition of each book, it's constantly going from one publisher to another, or in Parts Unknown's case, going from a single book to two books as a five-part serial, and then back together as one book. And now later on, so this year, it's going to be a trilogy. So it's wow. going through its own changes and everything, just as Excelsior is going from publisher to publisher. But getting that each time, holding that finished copy, it gets such a chill. So when you said that you did a big book launch, a full-out book launch party for the first book, what did you wind up doing for that?
So I have a friend, she works at the library. I was able to use the library, and we just advertised it through the paper. I think I advertised it. And then I handed out invitations and got as many people as I could. And like I said, I did do a presentation that was like the opener. And then I did a book signing where people could come and buy the books. And I did a reading as well during that. And then we had some little appetizers and coffee and a little fun. Party. Yeah.
Fun.
It was fun.
Yeah. You absolutely have to do. You got to take the time to celebrate these kinds of accomplishments, because if you don't, nobody else.
That's true. Yeah. I thought like, I'm going to be telling everyone about it anyway. Might as well get them all together and tell them at once.
There you go. That's perfect. And so if someone were to come up to you and say they got a story, they have a story in their head, they need to get it out, they don't know how, having done this in several different formats, what is something that you would recommend that they do?
If it's like a novel, I would definitely get them to look into some how-to books, of course, just to get the idea of how to lay out their book. This is a hard one just because I know Amazon is such an easy place to publish, but I know it's getting a bit of backlash. So I don't know how much I should talk about that. But if you want to go big and you have this amazing story, I would probably look into traditional publishing. It's hard to go from never writing anything to actually getting noticed. I know that, but if you think it could be, it doesn't hurt to try. And then if not, then try the self-publishing route. There are different companies that can help if you're not really sure where to go, but I'd be a little wary too, because there are ones that will ding you for quite a bit of money and then you can't make that money back or it takes a long time. But yeah, just for ease sake, Amazon's probably one of the easiest places to be able to publish. But I would work on first, just write, get down to the writing, lay out your book. I always start with an outline. I find that very helpful to map out where I want to go with my story. And yeah. Once it's done, I always recommend getting an editor. Well, don't do that.
And speaking of which, do you have a regular team working with you, or do you use different people along the way?
I have used different people just because I started out with Tellwell Talent. I did go through a publishing company that would help me just because I really was unsure what to do. So that's why I mentioned it. Now that I've gone through, do I recommend doing that? If you can do it on your own, I'd probably recommend doing that, but it did help in many ways. So they helped me with my covers, with the formatting of the book. And I did hire an editor through them just because I didn't know what I was doing and I really wanted to make them the best copies as I could. But then with Code of Reanimation, I did do it on my own. So that one I did just publish through Amazon. And so then I had Mallory Wood, who was my editor with that one. And so that was a great experience.
Excellent. And that is something that a lot of people really need to take into consideration, is that when you are going this route, when you're going indie, you need your team. You need a team that's going to work with you to get everything going. This is not a time for for you to engage in National Novel Writing Month from November 1st to 30th and then hit publish on December 1st. Those times are gone. And thankfully, we have people like Lainey, who has been working really hard over the years and has gotten herself to the point where she was able to step away from anything else and just concentrate on writing full time. That is the goal that we all want. We all want to be able to do that. And I wish her nothing but the best in continuing on with that journey. And that is what I want for all of you as well. I want you guys to be able to get that focus, get that drive to push forward, to get those ideas, those concepts, those stories, push them out there, get them out into the world, because we definitely need them these days. And so I hope that by listening to Lainey's story, you're able to spark of inspiration and realize that this is something that you can do as well. You can move forward. You can take that idea that has been sitting in your head. You can make it a reality. And you can, just like what Lainey did, you can make it into a series. And then at the same time, you can branch out into poetry. You can branch out into horror. You can branch out into doing short stories. Have fun with this, because this is a field in which if you are not having fun, then there's no point in doing it at all. So I wish you all nothing but the best. I wish Lainey nothing but the best as my friend. And as I've said several times before, in these crazy times, we need your vision. We need your ideas. We need your stories now more than ever. So for Lainey Morris, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward. And I will see you next week.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to heesgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to George@heesgotit.com.